Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. Today, Dave and I are talking about a real study on contrasts. It's Jacob, the patriarch.
Well, you know, the story of Jacob and Esau, and that's the contrast. You know, you got two brothers, mm-hmm. and there are so many things that flow out of this story. We're going to just kind of set it up today.
Yeah, well, just the contrast in Jacob's life from his struggles and his, you know, not his accomplishments, but his
blessings.
Yeah, just how he made it through the struggles and how God carried him and showed his long-suffering side of God.
Oh, absolutely. And, mm-hmm. you know, just when you would think all was lost for Jacob, God mm-hmm. would show up, which
yes.
is why we call him God's gracious heart and mm-hmm. promise. It's not so much about Jacob's gracious heart.
Right.
It's about God's display of grace and promise to him, because Jacob was a son of the promise. And that's kind of what sets this up. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Those are the four main patriarchs
mm-hmm.
When you're looking through the book of Genesis. And Abraham, the promise was made to Abraham. Isaac was his son who was offered, but the full chain of that promise was fulfilled in Jacob, because Abraham had been promised as many descendants as the sands of the seashore.
Mm-hmm.
And so that process begins really in earnest with Jacob.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty fun. Jacob was sneaky.
Yes.
His mom was deceptive.
Sad.
And his dad favored the other kid.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And really, one of the great things about the history before Jesus comes on the scene is that we get to hear about more of their lives. And neither their sins nor their accomplishments are hidden, but their faith is what really always gets the credit. So it's not that you're paying attention or putting too much attention on their sins or their accomplishments, but what God is doing in it. And it always shows God's grace and willingness to move on their behalf and on ours.
Well, I was blown away as I went through the prophets and realized how the name Jacob was applied to Israel over and over again,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting, because, you know, the promise didn't come to Jacob. It came, you know, through Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
And Jacob is like the perfect example of a conflicted human being that the promise is made to, and God is pouring out his grace upon him.
I relate to Jacob so much. Not so much in the being sneaky outwardly like he was, and yet I have to admit that in my heart I want to manipulate.
Yes. Check this out. This is out of Genesis 25. Afterward, his brother came forth with his hand holding on to Esau's heel. Now, this is their birth. So his name was called Jacob, which kind of means supplanter, or
heel.
I'm holding on to your heel, and I'm
mm-hmm.
and I'm coming out.
Oh, that's right.
He's called Jacob, and he was 60 years old when she gave birth to them. So his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 60 years old when she gave birth to the two sons.
And Isaac, when he was 40. Prayed because his wife seemed to be barren, and so to see that he prayed diligently and saw her become pregnant, so you know he'd waited for a long time for these twins.
Well, and you know, there aren't like tons of books in the Bible about parenting, but family it just permeates everything, and the rest of this in Genesis 25. When the boys grew up, so fast forward from that
mm-hmm.
birth experience, when
mm-hmm.
the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a peaceful man living in tents. Now, Isaac loved Esau because he had a taste for game, but Rebekah loved Jacob.
I mean, what a setup for trouble.
Well, it is. And, you know, I remember when we started out with our family, started building our family, and that was one of the biblical lessons that we thought through. You know, we looked at this and we thought, you know, all of our kids are going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
And showing personal favoritism can't happen,
mm-hmm.
you know, but you can show love, an equal amount of love, but it's just different.
It will look different for each child. I think what's, when you watch this story, what is so sad about it is that Isaac and Rebekah did it, and then Jacob does the same thing because he favors Joseph.
Yes, and you know that the problem, just the Jacob and Esau issue, just continues
mm-hmm.
to, you know, the descendants of Jacob are the Edomites, and the Edomites pop up in history, in Israel's history, and cause no end of problems And even the whole story of Jacob and Esau, you know, in that ride in when he's been gone, Jacob's been gone for a long time.
Yes.
And Esau comes in with all of his soldiers and he's a man of the field. You just kind of get the picture. A bunch of farmers walking through the desert and here comes the army. And, you know, to just see the picture of Esau embracing his brother after he had stolen his blessing.
Embracing his brother, but here his brother is sending the servants ahead of him, sending all these people ahead of him just because he wants to see how Esau is going to receive him. You know, like, well, go ahead and kill my servants first. I mean, it's still not all gone out of him, all of his kind of deceptiveness.
He's kind of a chicken.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, just because Esau was a man's man and Jacob wasn't, that doesn't mean that they didn't have their role before God. And Jacob had a very specific role mm-hmm. as far as receiving God's grace.
Yeah. And to back up just a little bit, how we got here is that Rebecca overheard Isaac telling Esau, go out, shoot something or whatever they did at the time, bow and arrows. Anyway, and cook something for me, and then I will give you my final blessing, the big blessing. And of course, Rebecca was eavesdropping, and she didn't want that. So she goes and gets Jacob, and they cook something up and put some hairy skins on his arms so that he fakes out his dad as
feels
to
like
who
his brother.
He is. Yes, and he gets the blessing. And then Esau comes in, and he says, you know, he discovers this and he goes into his dad and says, Dad, you've left nothing for me.
Just anything.
Just give
heart.
Me. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was crushing for them both. And when you read this for the first time, it's like reading a book or watching a movie and you're thinking, no, don't do it. Like you just want to say to Jacob and Rebecca, don't do that. It's just.
Well, and being an American father, I have a tendency to look at the story and go, well, sure, come on up with another blessing and go ahead and give it. I mean, what's the deal?
I know. I struggle with that. Like, I don't get it. Why can't you bless him too?
Well, it has to be seen in the context of, you know, what was going on and just how the whole Hebrew family environment worked. And, you know, it had to overcome even the deception of deceptive people because there were many in Israel.
But take the time to read this. It's so interesting because then Jacob takes off, runs away. This, you know, the whole thing that you've heard, the song about Jacob's ladder, that happens. Then he falls in love with a gal named Rachel. He has to work 7 years for her. And then he goes to bed. He marries her, goes to bed, wakes up next morning and discovers his dad has sent someone else into the tent, so he's really married to someone else.
Yeah.
So he works another 7 years, ends up with two wives. That's when the whole, you know, meeting Esau happens. So there's a great story, and if you haven't read it lately, it's really good.
Well,
it was
her dad. I don't want to start any kind of a firestorm.
Oh. I'm sorry, did I misspeak?
Well, yeah, you didn't mean to. I mean, you know. Well, this story then provides a foundation all the way through the scriptures for an explanation of God's grace. Not only just for Jacob, but also for Esau. Esau becomes an example of somebody who, it appears to me, overcame roots of bitterness when it's talked about over in the book of James.
Mm-hmm.
But this is out of Romans 9, and it talks about God's authority over the conditions on the ground. It is not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel, nor are they all children because they are Abraham's descendants. But through Isaac, your descendants will be named. That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise are regarded as descendants. This is a huge, huge spiritual principle in the scriptures because God is dealing on a level that is very difficult for us to understand. We have so much of a tendency to look on outward appearances rather than what's happening inside of the heart. So when God even describes and defines who Israel is in the totality of the scriptures, it's somebody who has a circumcised heart, not just a circumcised body.
Right. We're not descendants because of moms and dads. We're descendants because of a heart like our moms and dads.
So this continues, and this is how it ties back into Jacob and Esau. For this is the word of the promise. Now, that's what we're talking about here. The word of the promise that is being realized now in Jacob. It came to Abraham, then was passed on to Isaac, and now here it is in Jacob. For this is the word of the promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but there was Rebecca also. So this is what you were talking about earlier. It's the same story. So hopefully they're learning from it. When she had conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac, for though the twins were not yet born and had not done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose according to his choice would stand, not because of works, not because of what Jacob had done or Esau had done, but because of him who calls, which is God himself, it was said to her, the older will serve the younger.
This is so hard to understand because God has just put something in motion. And I think in our, either in our humanness or in our American culture, I'm not sure which, some of these kinds of passages can make us feel like a puppet, and you just have to wrestle with, you know, where God has placed you and seeing your boundaries as lying in pleasant places.
Yeah, well, I think that's the one side of it. The other side of it that is inseparably linked is how big is God?
Right.
You know, how great is our God? I mean, is he just a human concoction, or is he the God of the universe? And are we fitting into the plan that he is causing to unfold? Pretty cool. I ran across several things as I was studying Jacob and just the concept of Jacob. And this is a really a neat verse. It's out of Isaiah chapter 2. And again, Jacob is a name for Israel that pops up a lot in the prophets, literally dozens of times. Come, house of Jacob, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. And, you know, that's basically, as God's grace came to Jacob, that's exactly what happened. And when that latter thing happens and the wrestling with the angel and the different things, those are all watershed moments where Jacob is beginning to understand, just like Abraham had to learn, just like Isaac had to learn, just like we have to learn, Jacob was experiencing that too.
I hadn't even mentioned when I was kind of going through his story, him wrestling with the angel, the Jacob's ladder, but there's so much more to it than just seeing the angels on the ladder going up and down to heaven. He's wrestling walks either with a limp or something because his hip is never quite the
Penuel,
same.
Penuel, that was the place where it happened. But we'll talk about that a different day. The Psalms are just loaded.
I love these. I learned something about this that I hadn't really thought about before.
Well, Psalm 21, I'll just go through them and then you can say what you learned. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. So I thought that was a beautiful picture. Psalm 24, verse 6, this is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, even Jacob. And then in Psalm 146, how blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God.
I don't know that I'd ever seen these scriptures sort of together like this and always
that's why you need
seeing
me.
I know that. The God of Jacob, who seek your face, even Jacob, the God of Jacob. And so when I was looking at those, I was thinking, why doesn't it ever say the God of Moses or the God who delivered Daniel? And so I had to spend some time thinking about that. And just the idea, just the things that we have talked about, the kind of deceiver that he was, the kinds of that just actually fighting with an angel and refusing to give in because he needed the blessing. He wasn't going to give in until he had it. All the things he learned going back with Esau, and his God, our God, the I Am, shows his grace and shows up time and time again.
Forestream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to Forestream.com and click on the radio button.
Together, we are finding hope at Forestream.com.
Thanks, Bernadette.